Friday to Health, Wealth, and Divine. My name is Juwanza. Really appreciate your tuning in today. Got an awesome show lined up for you, as always. They're all awesome because I do my best to bring you the best in holistic health, the healers, the groundbreakers, the trailblazers. And speaking of trailblazers, my special guest today is a trailblazer in the holistic health community. He's been doing this work for almost 40 years. Actually, it might be 40, you know. That's how long he's been doing this. He's been doing this work for decades. And again, I can't think of a higher calling than to have as your purpose in life, one of your missions in life, to help other people heal, to save lives. You know, there are a lot of people out here that, you know, put their life on the line to actually help others, you know, safe, to be safe. You know, you have firemen, you know, they'll go into a burning building to save somebody's life, or, you know, policemen, you know, or other, you know, professions like that. But when you talk about somebody that's a healer, somebody that can help you actually prevent illness in your own life and the life of others, you know, that's a very, very, very special, special calling. It's, you know, it's no different than being a surgeon. You know, when somebody's laying on the table and the surgeon's got the knife and that person's, you know, maybe undergoing open heart surgery or something, that person's life is in the surgeon's hands, you know. So when you talk about people who can actually keep you from having to get on that table, where your chest is split wide open and they're having to do heart surgery on you, or, you know, whatever kind of surgery, you know, you might have to be having done on you, with the exception of, say, a broken bone or something, but just something that can be avoided through, you know, diet or live it, as I say, then that's a very, very special calling. Well, my special guest today is King Coy Dunstan. He's owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. I mean, this is an establishment that was created with helping you live a healthy life in mind. And we're going to tell you all about Secrets of Nature and how you can get by there, and you can take advantage of the products that are there and the information that Brother Coy is going to share. Today, we're going to actually be talking about exercise and the brain. Exercise and the brain. A lot of times, people, just even these two topics, if you just separate them and just talk about one and then talk about the other, each of these topics individually, I don't think get enough attention. You know, even for those of us who are on a holistic health path, many people have changed their diet to a livid. They've stopped eating meat, they've gone vegan, they've, you know, or vegetarian, and, you know, they're starting to make better eating choices. But, and seeing great results as a result of that. Their cholesterol levels gone down, their blood pressure's gone down, they, you know, gotten rid of their diabetes, gotten rid of certain things or whatever. But exercise plays a very, very, very important part in your overall health. And we're going to be talking about the health of the brain as well. We're in the midst of a series called Fundamentals of Health. Fundamentals of Health. We've actually done the overview. We've talked about fasting. We've talked about so many different aspects of holistic health. And so this week, we talked about, by the way, we also talked about digestion, elimination, and assimilation. Okay? So these shows are in the archives, and we'll tell you about all of that as well. But today, we're going to be talking about exercise and the brain. But as always, first, let me welcome all of the new members to Health, Wealth, and Divine. I see you signing up, following the show, and you can do that. If you're listening on Blog Talk Radio, there is a button that says follow. And if you click that button, you will be notified every time there's a show. You'll be notified of the date, the time, the guest, and the topic. So if you follow the show, then, like I said, you'll be able to hear Brother Coy. You'll know when he's coming on, which is once a month. He comes on every first Thursday of the month, and you'll be notified of what we'll be discussing, okay? So without further ado, let me get to my special guest, Brother King Coy Dunstan. Welcome back. Man, seems like it's been longer than a month since we've spoken, my brother. Welcome back to the show. Always great to have you.
I say good evening to you, your family, and the audience. It's good to be back with you, and hopefully I can impart something with you tonight that could give some benefit to everybody.
I'm sure you will be able to, Brother Coy. And I just want to take a moment before we start again to thank you for, you know, allotting this time for us. You know, we've been doing this show for several years now, and I go back and I listen to the shows, and I always get fed. And, you know, just the fact that, I mean, with a schedule such as yours, you're a busy man, and the fact that you just make time to come on this show and share this information with our listeners is truly a blessing to us. You've been a blessing to us for decades, you know, and I just, you know, want to give you your props and to, again, humbly thank you for agreeing to come on the show. Again, you're a special, special person in our community, and I just want to make sure that everybody knows who you are, you know, and what it is that you do, because you are a life changer and a life saver, and our lives are the better just because you're here. And I just want to, you know, give you the honor and the credit that you deserve, and I'm grateful that, you know, I have an opportunity to speak with you once a month.
Well, I appreciate that, and I do my best to give you good stuff, and if but still, if it wasn't for you, no one would hear me, so I got to give you your kudos back. I thank you for what you do, and I appreciate you getting me out there, and pray we can continue to grow and be more successful in spreading the word. That would be great.
Absolutely. Well, again, everybody, as I mentioned, we're in the midst of a series called Fundamentals of Health. And, again, the previous shows are in the archives, and I, you know, would encourage you to go back and listen to those shows, because they're full of information that you can use. It's either for you or it's for somebody you know. You didn't tune in by accident. You're here on purpose. Brother Coy's got a very interesting testimony. For those of you who have heard it, you know how powerful it is. And if you're like me, you don't get tired of hearing it, because it is an inspiration, and it really speaks to the power that is available to us, the answers that are really at our fingertips. And if you actually put it out there, you know, if you pray, if you believe in a higher power, you know, then you believe that, you know, that if you put the question out there, the answer could be right in the same, it could be right in the same room with you, you know, or you could actually meet a stranger on the street, you know what I mean, that might have the answer to the prayer that you prayed, which just so happened to be the case with Brother Coy. Brother Coy, could you share with our listeners again how you got started in holistic health, and just how you met this angel, I guess, for lack of a better term, just walking down the street that had the answer to the prayer that you were looking for, that had you not met him, we wouldn't be having this discussion today.
Yeah, it's still amazing how things happen, but things happen for a reason, and what happened to me was for a reason, and I've been doing it now, like you say, nearly 40 years. But back in 1980, I had just graduated from Antioch Law, and I was just taking a break. I was going to go home, spend some time with my parents. I've been working hard trying to get out of law school, and it was a break time. So I went home to take just a visit primarily, not to get involved in anything. I had no concept of what I was going for. Hadn't talked to my parents probably since I had started my final semester. And I went down, and when I got there, my mother was just coming from the hospital in Lewisburg, talking about the doctor told her to go to Duke University the next morning as fast as she can get there, because what she had, he didn't have enough equipment or technology where he was to make a determination about what she should do or what was wrong with her. So the next morning, my dad and I got up. We drove up to Duke University, about hospitals, probably about an hour ride. And by the time we got there, we got my mother in, and they admitted her to the hospital and started doing tests, and kept us there, my dad and I, all day, and say, well, we're going to keep her over for a while. We got to go through some more tests and do this and that and other. And So my dad and I went back home and spent the night. The next morning we went back up. Sometimes late in the afternoon, the doctor came out and said, well, we've determined that she had cancer of the breast, the colon, and the liver. And we're going to see what we can do for her, but we can't make any promises. In fact, the next day they say, well, there's not much they can do. They didn't expect her to be able to survive what she was in. And a couple of weeks later they say, well, we've done all we can do. You gotta have to take the chemotherapy. That's the only, I think chemotherapy was just getting kind of popular treatment for cancer around that time. And take chemotherapy or you have to go home. We can't do anything else for you. So we talked about it, and my mother asked me what would I do if I was her, and I say, well, I don't know a lot about chemotherapy, but the people that I know that have had it didn't do very well with it, and I think probably I would just pack up and let's go home, and maybe we can talk about it and see what's next, or if we decide what we'll decide what to do when we get home. So she took my advice. We packed up, went home. I got her home, got her stable, and I was coming back up from North Carolina through Richmond, and I stopped on the street for some reason. I guess I wanted something to eat or get some gas or something. And there was a fellow out in the parking lot passing out information. He handed me a packet. Didn't really pay much attention to it at the time, but by the time I got back to D.C. and read it, I was just pumped because it had everything I was looking for in it. He had how to use the herbs to heal the body and how to do enemas, you know, the whole nine about preventive health. And there was a meeting, I think, that Monday night or something, the following Monday night, when I went down to Richmond. I sat in the meeting, got all the information that I could, and I just started learning. And I just stayed in it, and I've been in it ever since. And started using it with my mother, and we went into the fasting. We went into enemas. Did the enemas? We changed the diet. Got off the dairy, the sugar, and the meat for a while.
Mm-hmm.
She stabilized, and it was getting better. And the doctor, after about a month or so, said, "Well, whatever you're doing, keep doing it because we don't know why you're alive. So we're glad."
Wow.
To keep see you doing what you're doing, and they encouraged her to keep doing it. And she lived, well, and then around that time, that was before the Pardiaco came on the market, but around that time, which was about 3 months later, Nature Sunshine came out with her, and the fella that I met in Richmond was a Nature Sunshine distributor, and Nature mm-hmm. Sunshine came out with a product called Pardiaco. So it was touted as emptying the cancer wards down in Mexico. That's where people would go if they had a real serious condition. A lot of people would go to Mexico because they could engage in these different modalities and not be restricted by the medical profession. So this was coming out of Mexico, this Pardiaco. I got some Nature Sunshine, got it, and I got it, started using it with my mother. And probably about 6 months after she was out of the hospital, the doctors were just amazed and didn't know what to do. But they say, well, you don't need to come back. We look like you're okay and you'll be okay. And she lived 10 years later, 10 years after that, before she died. And she died running around preaching and everything else she wanted to do. So with that, I was convinced. And that's why I do what I do today. I opened up a little store and started sharing it with everybody that would listen, and I've been doing it now for just about 40 years.
Brother, I think I may have said it before. I wish I could have heard those sermons that she was preaching.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
when somebody comes is brought back from the brink of death, you know what I mean? When they look stare death in the face, you know, and can come back from that. You know, from looking over the edge of that cliff and come back, then I know that those messages were filled with passion, you know, a passion that people that have not experienced that probably could only imagine, you know, or find it hard to imagine. You know, what's interesting too is when you're listening to your testimony, you mentioned that after about a month or so, you know, you started to see results. To me, that seems kind of quick. You know what I mean? When you think about just the fact that the doctors had just given her, they'd pretty much given up on her. I mean, they're basically saying, look, you got 6 weeks to live. You know, you need to go home and get ready to, you know what I mean, start making plans, you know. I mean, to have the body gone, you know, get to that point of where the doctors had basically thought there was no hope of returning to health for her. And then within such a short period of time, to see the results that started the doctors being made, look, I don't know what you're doing, keep on doing it. That really speaks to the power of the body to heal itself if you give the body what it needs, correct?
Well, even greater than that, I think the whole idea is like when she first got home from the hospital the first time, I think she was giving up on herself. So the fight was with her mind. She had to get her mind right. Had to get her mind right so that she could believe that she could do better, feel better, or didn't have to dive in misery, or didn't have to feel sorry for herself. But that's part of what we're going to be talking about tonight. How important the brain is, and if your brain is not able to function for a number of reasons, they can be because they're toxic, you feel full of drugs or whatever. You can't make those decisions, so you got to give them time to get through the process of feeling sorry for themselves before you can really begin to increase their ability to heal. And that, I think that was the turning point. We got through that process, and she made up her mind that she was going to get better, and that's what happened.
Wow. The power of the mind.
Yes, that's it.
Wow, that is. Well, tonight, again, we're going to be talking about exercise and the brain. And I wanted the listeners to hear that testimony because there may be somebody right now that either themselves is dealing with a health crisis or they know somebody that's dealing with a health crisis. And in many cases, sometimes the health crisis that you might be dealing with might not be unto death. You know, it might not be as serious a health crisis as the one that Coy's mother was going through. But if she can come back from that, if she can come back from the doctors basically giving up on her and saying that she only has 6 weeks to live, then, you know, if you're dealing with arthritis, that's easy, right? If you're dealing with diabetes, that's not a big issue. I mean, when I say not a big issue, it's not, you know, I don't mean to minimize it because it can take you out. But what I'm saying is the doctors have not given you 6 weeks to live, okay? If you're not at that point, if she can come back from that, then certainly – if you do the right thing, there's a strong possibility. The odds are very good that you can actually overcome whatever it is that you're dealing with. Correct, Coy?
Well, I would agree. And the sooner you do that, and not that I'm not advocating not going to the doctor, because unless she had gone early as she did, it would have probably been too late for real. But the whole idea is that you have to come to a conclusion that you can do better, and then do what you need to do better. That's guess is what I'm trying to say. And that sometimes take time, and it sometimes takes some outside help. It takes some consultations. It takes whatever you need to do to get better. You got to be willing to do it, and oftentimes you might need a little coaching along the way, and you got to be open and receptive to whoever comes along and listen and try to make sense out of what they say and actually apply it or practice it. And most of the time you'll see a difference, yes.
Well, everybody, again, you ready? I hope you're ready. So class is in session. We're going to be talking about exercise and the brain. Well, Brother Coy, again, a lot of times people hear about exercise, and a lot of times, you know, we know that we should exercise. But unless you are really into fitness, and of course there's a difference between fitness and wellness, but people that are into fitness, you know, they're going to the gym, you know, jogging and this sort of thing, which is nothing wrong with that, are used to exercise and may have developed a love for exercising. But there are a lot of people that have changed their diet to a livid. They've, you know, stopped eating meat, stopped eating dairy, stopped, you know, smoking, stopped drinking, stopped getting high, stopped doing a lot of the things that we know that we shouldn't do to maintain optimal health. But exercise for a lot of people is just something that, you know, we tend to not really look forward to. You know, brothers, unless you're into fitness, don't look forward to doing 50 push-ups as soon as they wake up in the morning, you know, or doing any form of exercise. But the body has got to move, and there's effects on the body and the brain if you do not move. Could you talk about that for a moment? Why, first of all, why is it important to move the body? Why is it important that we move this body? Many people might know that they need to exercise, but it might be because they might feel like they might look in the mirror and say, I'm a little overweight. Yeah, I know I need to lose this gut. But, I mean, beyond just losing the gut, why is exercise important?
Well, the main reason you should exercise is the brain, because you have to remember the brain is limited in terms of its ability to survive life. In other words, your brain starts dying almost as soon as you start living, and unless you do things to increase the circulation to the brain and to feed the brain and to do what you need to do, to take care of the brain, you're going to run into a problem with self-love. You may not feel you're worthy of living, and that's why when you get sick, you turn your life over to a doctor and just give up and just die. That's why you die. Exercise also helps you tolerate pain, all the arthritis, all the stuff that we come in contact with, the shock and trauma on the body. Exercise increases your ability to survive whatever happens to the body. It also keeps you from being depressed. It reduces your level of depression that you might encounter in life. We tend to fall off or feel sorry for ourselves or feel helpless. And a lot of women and men, they go into depression, and oftentimes it's not even recognized. But oftentimes if you ask them, do they exercise or do they eat right, they'll tell you no. So that's why they're into this. That's why it's important for them to at least to start doing some exercise to increase the capacity of the brain to handle the stress or whatever they're going through. You also have it decreases your possibility of brain loss. Like we say, as you age, you lose initially maybe 2% over a decade, but then you get over 60 or 70, it's like 1% a year. So your brain really starts falling off. As you get over 60, your brain really loses a lot of its cognition. You lose your creativeness. You don't feel good or look good. You lose all of your shape and all the things that attract people to you. You lose all of those things because you have a lot of pent-up things that you haven't dealt with, so your brain is just withering on the vine, and you are taking your body with it, and exercising or not exercising contributes a lot to that. But if you have allergies, most everybody have an allergy to something, to the food or the air, to the environment or something, exercise will help you fight off allergies or lessen the effect of the allergy on the body, and it keeps you from falling off into mindlessness, I say. Like you just go off and you lose the dementia or all the other things that show up when you're not exercising. You can reduce the effects or avoid a lot of those things just by exercising your brain. Picking up crossword puzzles, playing games, just having companionship or talking, all of that. It stimulates the brain to a point to where it can stave off all of those kind of conditions. So believe it or not, all of those, most of those conditions starts in the brain, and you have to, if you want to avoid them or not get beat down by these items, exercise is important to do that. Then you got the things that you do every day. Just in living, you get traumatic brain injury. If you was in high school, or you might have played football, or you might have a job that you, the side effects could be traumatic brain injury or lead to traumatic brain injury. So that speeds up the process. Or you could have a disease like a Huntington disease, which kill brain cells. And oftentimes you can't revive them, but if you begin to exercise or do certain exercises, you can reduce the effects of the Huntington diseases and killing cells. One of the probably one we talk about a lot is vitamin deficiency, and the main vitamin is that keeps the brain functioning, and I guess that's why a lot of doctors prescribe it, is B12. B12 seems to give the brain something that it needs, and it prevents the brain from atrophying or losing its ability to function properly. B12 is essential for that. Then you can have strokes. You can have a stroke and not know it. It could be a series of, over time, the strokes just get worse and worse, and you may not even notice it until you get the big one. So you want to make sure you do whatever you can to keep the blood flowing throughout your body, but particularly to the brain. And if you're a heavy drinker, drinking, it shrinks the brain. So that explains probably why drinkers can't stop. It shrinks the brain. But believe it or not, moderate drinking may reduce the risk of cardiovascular disease. So it's the good and the bad side to that. So you have to be careful not to do the heavy drinking. I mean, it's okay to have an occasional drink maybe, but if you're heavy drinking, like every day, you got to have a fifth, that's a problem. And then the big one is Alzheimer's may, particularly the lack of exercise, may lead to the likelihood that you're going to be an Alzheimer's patient, and maybe that's why it's so prevalent. We sit around and we watch TV and we don't get up, we don't move, we're at work, we just sit around all day, so we're not giving our brain a chance to do what it's supposed to do, so it stops. It just stops, and it stops everything. It stops Alzheimer's, shuts you down. You can't talk, you can't eat, and boom, you're gone. But I guess the biggest thing is aging. Aging is something that you can't do anything about, so that's why it's really more important as we age to work in exercise to slow down the deterioration of the brain and to keep the body in good integrity. So you get 2% loss every 10 years, but when you get over 60, as I mentioned, it's 1% a year, so it goes down real quick. It affects your decision-making, your problem-solving. You can't think for yourself. That's why you have to have someone like someone to carry out your affairs. If you, as you get older, you need someone to kind of watch you and make sure you don't do stupid stuff. It increases the brain's ability to produce the white and gray matter when we do the exercise, and it prevents depression and protects the brain against stress. Because stress is probably the main reason that the brain deteriorates, is stress. And we as black people are under tremendous stress, so whether you think you're affected by it or not, your brain is going to let you know sooner or later when you start not being able to figure out what's going on or get dementia or started getting these brain diseases that so many of us are having now. Exercise helps prevent or builds up the brain's ability to handle stress, boost energy, and strengthen his willpower. So if you got a fast, or when you are fasting, or to get ready to fast. You might do some exercise. Initially, start with a good exercise program. Eliminate the things we just talked about, the drinking, all the things we know we shouldn't do, and get your mind right. Then you can fast it without a big problem, and you can actually grow the brain if you start doing some of the things we're talking about here, and it builds up your tolerance to stress and emotions. It helps you with your emotional life. Like if you have to, you know, oftentimes we come into a situation, and because our emotions are so erratic, we can't handle it. We go off. We make it worse. We bring more stress in the situation because we are doing it to ourselves. So the exercise gives you another outlet to get handle that stress and to not carry it around or make it, you know, eat you up or beat you up to a point to where you can't function. So it keeps your emotions in check, and it protects the heart. So that's kind of an overview of why we should exercise and the benefits of it, and we can go from there.
You know what's interesting, Brother Coy, is when you think about all of the benefits that exercise has on the body and the brain. When I say the body and the brain, like I'm making a separation, you know, the brain is, of course, part of the body. But it's the brain that's going to make the determination as to whether you're going to exercise, you know, whether it's the brain that's going to make that determination whether or not you should move this body. It's not like the body is going to say, okay, you know, my brain needs to be healthy. My brain, I don't want my brain to atrophy. I don't want my brain to, you know, lose any cognition or anything like that. So I'm going to exercise to save my brain. No, it's going to be the brain that makes that decision to move the body to save itself, you know. So could you talk about for a moment the mindset? For example, you mentioned even with your mother how when it came time for her to make a decision as to whether she wanted to live or die, she chose to live. That was a mental decision. She made a conscious decision that this cancer is not going to take me out. I am going to fight it, and I'm going to beat it. And that was a conscious choice that came out of her brain, you know. So it's going to be the brain that even makes the decision to exercise. For example, there could be people listening to this show. They know they need to exercise, and they're hearing this information. They can't argue with it. They know that I need to exercise, but now there's going to come a time when you have to actually move beyond knowing that you need to do it and actually taking the steps to actually do it. At some point, you got to put on the gym clothes. At some point, you got to get to the track. At some point, you got to, you know, or either do the push-ups or the sit-ups or whatever, and that's going to be a mental choice. Can you talk about the role even of the mind? Because it's like one hand washes the other, right? The exercise is going to help the brain, and the brain is going to make the decision to exercise. Can you talk about
it? Well, that is it. Yeah, that is oftentimes we get involved in things because other people are doing them or for some other reason other than what we think we are doing it for. And the whole idea getting your body back, getting your mind back, is you have to make a conscious decision to do that. It's hard to do that if you don't start. You got to start with your brain. Everything starts with a thought. And if you don't get the brain to a place to where it has space to think and can conceive the idea that this is what I'm going to do and this is how I'm going to do it, you can compensate for all the things you don't like in making that decision. But the final decision is that you getting started. And until you can get to a place to where you can get started, you're not doing your body any good or your brain. And oftentimes we don't want to get up in the morning and do anything. We don't want to get off work at night and then go do something else. But you have to understand that we have to make time for these things, because without them, there's no way out. You're digging yourself in a bigger hole. You're going to find yourself not being able to control any much of anything in your life, your emotions, your money, your desire or whatever you feel like you are living and working for, you won't be able to control yourself to the point to where you can realize the benefits. So you kind of work yourself into a place to where nothing is getting done and you don't feel like it's getting done. And the more you go that way, the less likely you are to do anything to help your body or your brain. And you just have to get yourself to a place to where you can pull yourself up and just start moving and doing something. Otherwise, you die.
You know, that's straight to the point. That's straight to the point. And, you know, just to drive that point home, just so that people just won't think, well, we got to die of something. You know, there are some people that take the position, well, you know, hey, you know, God didn't make man to live forever. We're going to die, you know. But before you die, chances are you're going to get sick first. Then you're going to die, okay? You're going to suffer, and then you're going to die. You're going to suffer before you
people
die.
That's what happens to people that believe that, because they put that in their brain, and that's what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And so if that's what you say, that's what you're going to get. So you got to be careful what you think and what you say and what you believe and what you do. All of those things are important. Otherwise, you are feeding into the negative energy that's around you that's causing you to feel that way, and you want to break that habit. And that's, I guess, part of adjusting to life.
Mm-hmm. If we could for a moment, Brother Coy, and I know that this is not a man-woman conversation. Everybody needs to exercise, obviously. But, you know, I was having a discussion with someone recently, and we were talking about men, okay, mm-hmm. specifically, in particular. And even as men get older, you know, the older a person gets, the less likely, you know, they are to probably go out to the track or whatever, you know, especially if you might take somebody who might not have exercised in years. I mean, a lot of brothers and sisters, but just for this part of the discussion, talking about men, a lot of brothers haven't been on the track since high school or, you know, maybe once they got out of the military, you know, they might have been like, that's it, I ain't running no more, you know, and they don't. But then they get to a point where their body, at a certain point, whether it's in their 40s, 50s, or 60s, is really starting to break down. I mean, dealing with now with, you know, obesity, you know, high blood pressure, diabetes, heart trouble, I mean, you name it, dealing with that. But men are supposed, we have a function in our families, you know, in our society, you know, we have a function. And, I mean, men take pride in being men. Little boys look up to their fathers, to their whatever role model there is in their life. You know, if they look forward to being strong when they grow up. Little boy, 5 years old, might come running up to you, showing his biceps, look at my muscle. You know, they grow up with this part of this image of a strong man, or even being a man, is being healthy and fit and strong, you know. And when you reach a point in your life, or if you reach a point in your life where you are no longer healthy, fit, and strong as a man, it's got to affect your relationship with your wife, if you have one, okay? It's got to affect your relationship in areas of intimacy, if you can't be intimate because you're either dealing with erectile dysfunction or, you know, other things that would prohibit you, some health condition that would prohibit you from expressing yourself in that manner, just on so many different levels, even to defend yourself as a man, you know, or to defend your family as a man. You know, there are just certain limitations that are going to come along with you not being healthy. Can you just talk about the health piece, the exercise piece, from the standpoint of being a man, you know, and the responsibility that men have not only to themselves, but to them, to their families, you know, to their children, that look to them for leadership, that look to them for strength, not just the spiritual strength, but actually, you know, the physical strength that is going to give people an idea of, let's say, for example, if you take a little boy who looks at their father and their father's not healthy, okay, because the father's body is broken down, then the father has certain things he can't do with the little boy. You know what I mean? If you can't go throw a football with your son because you're not healthy, you know, that's going to impact even how he views you. You know, he may love you, but he's going to be impacted by your lack of physicality or being able to do certain things physically. Can you talk about it from the standpoint of just from men being and needing to exercise?
Well, I think the where we are going with this is a major reason why we are where we are, because we believe that there's nothing we can do about anything other than what we do. And that is a problem in terms of making a difference in life, in your life. I think what's missing oftentimes is that we lose our lack of purpose. We feel we have no purpose in life because our bodies are getting old and we can't function and do this and do that, and so we lose our purpose in life. But we have to keep a purpose. Whatever your purpose is, it's with you all your life, and you have to learn how to stay with that purpose until you can't do it anymore, until you die, or you got to change your purpose in life, or I guess adopt another purpose in life, or keep a purpose in your life, because without a purpose, you have no incentive to do much of anything. And I think a lot of us are flawed in there. We think we are where we are because we can't do anything about it, or I tried to do something about it and it didn't work out. So we just sit and don't do anything anymore, and it takes your manhood. We have a lot of men have that problem. We just have no manhood anymore. A lot of the, particularly people, the generations now, it's difficult for them to know whether they're men or women. They think it's okay to be whatever you want to be. That's a problem. I mean, and we should be outraged about it and trying to find out why. But in terms of your manhood, it seems like in terms of your manhood, all the attention is going that way. It's going away from you being a man to whatever other people want to be. And unless you get up and start voicing your opinion or stating your objections or whatever you feel you need to do to maintain your manhood, you're going to wither away, and you're going to get sick early, you're going to die early, you're not going to have any purpose in life, and then there goes the family, there goes the neighborhood, there goes everything is gone if the man is not there to carry out his purpose, or if he feels like because of the conditions he's under, he can't carry out his purpose. It's going to affect him in all ways. That's why it's so important to work on the exercise, do the brain exercises, keep that brain moving so that you can keep control of yourself, if nothing else. You can't control what goes on around you, but you can control yourself, and if you control yourself, then people will follow. And I think that's what happens to us. We just kind of give up and let everything go and turn it over to someone else, let someone else do it. And as a result, we just lose our purpose, and with that, we lose it all.
Mm. Everybody, my special guest is King Coy Dunstan, owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. We still got time. If you would like to talk to Brother Coy, you have a question or a comment, or just like to say hey, all you have to do if you're listening by phone is press 1. If you're listening online, the call-in number is 347-324-5727. My name is Jawanza. We're talking about exercise and the brain. Powerful, powerful interview, and I think that there are going to be a lot of people that become inspired by this. Just sticking with the man piece for a moment, Brother Coy, a lot of brothers are dying early. I mean, just they have gotten to the point where they've allowed their bodies to go. And feeling as though that, you know, there's nothing that they can do about it, like you mentioned. They, as opposed to thinking that they had anything to do with the condition, the body being in the condition that it's in, it's easy to blame another entity. It's easy to blame the devil or, you know, blame, you know, some other entity rather than say it's the food on my plate. And then there's a lot of resistance when it comes to stuff. I mean, I've heard people say, even as it relates to food particular, you know, just like, hey, I know that eating, you know, this is not good for me, but I'm going to eat it anyway. You know, I know because you got to die or something, you know.
Yeah.
But again, they don't take into the consideration that they will suffer before they die of that something. But brothers are dying early. I mean, so much earlier than need be. Just could you talk about it from that standpoint? That look, you know, and when you die, you leave your families. You know, you actually leave your families, the people that love you. They, you know, now have to live without you. Yeah,
yeah.
Simply.
Yeah, simply.
But
I would say that being that the case, I think we have to come to a place to where we accept the responsibility for that, and we got to pull ourselves out of it, because as it is now, I think a lot of that has to do with economics. We, you know, it's not very many people that have businesses. It's not very many people that we can say are successful in terms of the whole race. We got a few they scatter around to make you feel like you can do it, but in reality, you have not. You're not prepared to do what someone else has done, and you got to find your own space. And when you are deprived that, or when you can't find that space, or when you are denied every time you are trying to do something, you are denied, or you fail a time or two, it kind of takes that spunk out of you, and you have to fight it. Otherwise, you will just atrophy and die away. And I think that's a lot of reason why a lot of us did die. We just give up. We feel like we are not worthy, and we don't deserve what's out there for us. We feel like we can't reach it or get it. And every time we try, we get denied or get beat down. That takes your manhood. And a lot of that is the way we come out of slavery. We never got rehabilitated. No one ever come and say, well, we know you've gone through shock and trauma, and we're going to do what we can to get you out of it and get you on your feet and build you up. Because if they did that, you would take over, and they're not going to do it. You can't depend on them to do it. You're going to have to go within yourself. You're going to have to get together with each other. You're going to have to talk this thing over. We're going to have to become more as a community or a family with each other in order to deal with it, because no one else is going to do it. It's not in their interest. Everyone else is coming in, taking everything they can get, and we're just sitting here looking, watching it happen, and not doing anything about it. So that alone is just enough to just wear you down and make you want to give up, make you want to die, and that's what's happening to us. We have nowhere to go and no way to get there other than die. We'd rather die and leave here and go somewhere else, wherever that is, and hope for a better day. But wherever you go, it's going to be the same thing. If you can't do it here, you're not going to do it wherever you go when you leave here. So you might as well come together, get together with people that can work with you, that you can work with, that understands people like you, and begin to talk. Just work it out. Just begin to, you'd be surprised the things that you're going through, someone else has already gone through, and they can tell you what to, you know, how to deal with it. And sometimes it's just because we fight each other rather than work with each other. Oftentimes we don't get to that point, and it oftentimes leads to what we're talking about, premature death.
I think, Brother Coy, for a lot of men and women, we don't want people to know if we're not all right. I mean, you could have somebody that just had death in the family, and they could be grieving. They run into somebody, hey, how you doing? Oh, fine.
you know?
I mean, you know, we don't want that. Not fine. You know, we don't want people to know that we, you know, have issues. We don't know. We don't want people to know that we, you know, don't have the answers. You know, you would take a brother in school. You would take a brother that's in school, and rather than in front of the class, say to the teacher, "I'm sorry, miss, I didn't quite get that. Do you mind going over that again?"
Yeah.
Rather than risk admitting to the class that he didn't understand what the teacher just said, he may sit there or she may sit there and not get the answer because of not wanting everybody else to know that they didn't know, not understanding that they may not know either. The other classmates might not know either, you know. But rather than show that, they actually miss, you know, actually getting the answer. Another issue, I think, and this can help with the brain too, and maybe you could speak on that, on this. I heard a saying once, and I loved it. And the saying was, "Real men read." Real men read. Now this can apply to women as well, okay? But could you talk about reading and the brain? You know, like you mentioned crossword puzzles and so forth, but even as it relates to just reading books, I mean, in books on different subjects, you know, for example, you might take, and I was speaking with this with someone the other day too, for example, you might take Christians who they read, but it might only be religious material. You know, they might not read anything on history or science or politics or whatever. But could you talk about the importance of reading and, you know, how important that is to the brain and how that just not only does it just broaden your perspective and educate you, but it's got to be healthy for the brain as well.
Well, that's, I think even if you just read the Bible, just reading it is not enough. All of this, what we're talking about, is in the Bible, but it's a read, a study to show yourself approved. That means you can defend what you say and you got a reason for what you do, that kind of stuff. That's studying. You got to study as long as you're living. Whatever your profession is, you have to keep up with it. You have to keep up in it. If you don't have a profession, it's even more important to read because that can lead you into whatever your purpose is or whatever you should be doing. So studying is a good way to go, and oftentimes we haven't been taught how to study, and I think that's a real problem because if we read, we don't understand, and if we don't understand, we lose interest or we don't get it, and we flunk the test when the test is given. So the whole educational process should be in the home or in your home, and you should begin to teach yourself and join with other people that of like mind that can, so you can educate each other, and you got to be able to discuss and talk about it without fighting each other. I mean, most of the time, particularly when a group of us get together, it winds up in an argument because we don't know how to communicate with each other. And that way you lose people or people don't want to get involved or they just continue on their way and not really get into a good, meaningful relationship in terms of learning. And oftentimes that's all it takes to really change your desire to read or your ability to read. You just have to start where you are, do what you have to do to get to where you want to go, and continue to work and learn how to communicate. Communication is both ways. You have to listen and you have to give. And if you just want to give, you're going to have an argument. If your brain is so stuck in one place and you can't change it, you can't communicate with anybody. The only thing you want to do is talk to yourself and, you know, be who you are. But you have to learn how to listen to what other people say and reason with them in terms of why they think that way, and you give your reason why you think that way, and you come up with a conclusion. Until you can do that, you're just going to be fighting each other. So we have to learn how to do these things in order to make a difference in the neighborhood, in the family, or wherever you're trying to, in your job, whatever you're trying to do. We have to learn how to educate ourselves to the point where we can do what we want to do.
You know, the reason I raised the point about people reading other than the religious text of the religion that they subscribe to, I just use Christians, but of course this applies to Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, whatever, you know, whatever a person calls themselves. Oftentimes, because a person's religion is what guides them. It's their daily, you know, it's their daily connection with the God of their understanding, right? You know, if you're a Christian, you believe in God. You believe in Jesus. If you're a Muslim, you believe in Allah and Muhammad. If you're, you know, Hindu or Buddhist, you believe in Buddha. I mean, whatever the religion is, because that is such a foundation in people's life, that's what, you know, they find comfort in. That's who they, you know, they pray to that particular God. They, you know, finding comfort in the scriptures that relate to that particular you know, belief system, whether it's Hinduism, they might be reading the Bhagavad Gita or, you know, whatever the case is. Do that, whatever to extent that you do that, though, if you don't read anything other than that, you know, and when I say other than that, I don't mean other religious scriptures. I'm talking about you have people, for example, that could quote you the Quran all day long, or people that could quote you the Bible all day long, but not tell you how to get a mortgage. You know, they could quote you the Bible all day long, but wouldn't be able to tell you who's the council person for their ward. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Couldn't even tell you. You know what I mean? Couldn't even tell you who that person is. But they quote scripture all day long. You know what I mean? But couldn't tell you, you know, if you ask them where is Zimbabwe, you know, they couldn't tell you. You know what I mean? So,
and that
lack of reading and expanding your mind beyond your own personal religious belief system affects people, and they don't even know that it's affecting them, because otherwise you lock yourself into this little circle, and anything beyond that circle, anything outside of that circle, they don't feel is relevant, but they're still being affected by whether they believe that or not.
But yeah, I'll agree with that, and I think no one is more subjected to that than Christians. We believe what we believe because it's in the Bible. If you say prove it, we're lost because we don't study. And if you look at any religion, it has certain doctrines and disciplines that you got to follow. And if you put them all together, they all come down to about the same thing. It's not much difference in being a good Muslim and being a good Christian. If you run into a good Christian or a good Muslim, you should not be able to tell much of a difference. It's just one of our biggest problems as black people, I'm talking particularly black people now, we really don't have a God. And that's a real problem. Every culture has a God, and it's important to have something to believe in because that's where everything comes from. And we have to go to a place to where what did our grandmothers and our ancestors, what did they worship? Who did they worship? How did they break the chains of slavery? How did they get through this? What did they have that we seem to have lost now? We can't even... We don't even fight for anything anymore. We don't even bring it up. We won't even talk about having something different. We have settled into a situation where all we want is to have a job, get a car, get married, and that's it. And where is that taking us? It's not taking you anywhere. We have no businesses. We have no economic foundation. We have nothing to stand on, and we're at the mercy of everybody else in the world now. So where are we going? We have no purpose, and that's why we are astrophinging on the ground or off the vine. We're just dropping off every day. We have no purpose. We have no desire. What do you call it when you have some goals or some
aspiration?
Nothing to pass on to the next. We're not passing anything on to the next generation. We left it to the school system, and the school systems now. All they're doing is babysitting. They're not really teaching us anything. We don't have time to do it at home because we're so busy getting out the door in the morning to go to work and getting back home at night so we can go to bed so we can get up the next day and do the same thing. So we have lost our purpose, and we until we can find time to slow down enough to say, hey, look, this is my life, and this is what I want, and this is how I'm going to get it. It's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
We can't leave it to other people anymore.
Everybody, my special guest is Coy Dunstan, owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. This conversation is going where it needs to go. We're talking about exercise and the brain. You know, keeping it on the reading point for a second and exercises, I saw an article recently where they were discussing, they were giving President Barack Obama's reading list, I guess, for the summer. I guess the books that he had read this past summer. And they were five books. I don't remember the topics. I don't remember the titles. But they varied. I mean, they were just, you know, on various different, you know, topics. You know, I think there may have been one novel on the book, on the list or whatever. But it struck me that here's somebody who was president of the United States and still finds pleasure in, you know, his downtime to just take some time and read. You know,
yeah.
I mean, not the sports page, not that there's anything wrong with the sports page. I'm not, don't get me wrong, I like sports. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about reading something other than, again, just your, I mean, you can read, if you're a Christian, you can read the Bible and something else that's not religious. If you're a Muslim, you can read the Quran and something else that's not religious, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can read about politics. You can read history. You know, you can read about something other than your particular religion that in doing so can help broaden your perspective, keep your brain sharp, okay? Because as Brother Coy mentioned, as you get older, what was it, 2%? Per year, once you're, or 1% if you're over 60,
1% over 60 per year, every year.
Mm-hmm.
1% if you're over 60, 1% of your brain you lose every year. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And again, this reading piece isn't just it's for women. It's for women too, because sisters, you're the first teacher. Okay, when you have a child, that child is going to sit at your knee first. Okay, before they sit with daddy, they're going to sit with you. You know, you can read to the baby when the baby's in the womb, you know what I mean, and just start a wonderful foundation for that child coming out of the womb and learning to expand their mind, keep their mind sharp, keep the health of their brain sharp just through reading as well. Brother Coy?
Yeah, and as you do that, and I know a lot of mothers do, read to their children in the womb. But as you do that, you have to make sure once they are born and they are beginning to get their cognition, their thinking straight, you have to test them and see where they are, see what they, if they can retain what they read, can they actually follow the directions? You know, you have to test them and see where they are and work on the areas where they are weak so that they become citizens that can state their position, like in this election. Is there a black position on the table? I haven't heard anybody come up and say black people want economic development or jobs or whatever. They're telling us that, you know, we all got jobs and everything is lovey-dovey. There's nothing wrong. And I don't hear any pushback on that. We have a lot of problems in the community, and we need to do something about it. And a lot of them starts with the brain. We have a mental block on how to function in society, and we need to come up with programs to address those things. Otherwise, we're going to be extinct.
Well, Brother Coy, could you talk for a moment, speaking of the brain, we need to make sure that it stays healthy. Water in the brain, for a moment, because water is the, I mean, we need that. That's like, we can't do without water. And in order to have a healthy brain, you got to feed the brain what the brain needs to be healthy. Could you talk about the role of water and how much water a person needs to consume to ensure that they have a healthy brain?
Well, I think we need to start with what's causing our brain to get clogged up. is that, you know, out thinking, why can't we reason and why can't we communicate with each other and why can't we decide on a position and stay with it? A lot of that comes from the diet again. And when you mm-hmm. are eating the way we eat and not drinking water, all that stuff is going to attach to the brain. I think they're proving now that a lot of the problems with Alzheimer's or dementia is that you got toxin in the brain. You got fat cells or fat or all the things, the byproducts of what we're eating are settling in the brain, and it's cutting off the cognition process, the things that supposed to happen as we go. So if you're going to eat those kind of things, you can't wash it down with a Coca-Cola or with iced tea. Mm. You got to drink water. Water is the only thing that's going to flush a lot of that out. And over time, if you let it build up, I don't know if you can get it out. I think they're working on some kind of cure for Alzheimer's, but the damage is so great until once you get to Alzheimer's, it's hard to reverse it. I'm certain there's something that can be done about it. We just don't know it yet. We haven't really even looked at some of the things that we could do about it, I don't think, because we're not really interested in preserving life. And until we come up, stand up, and say we deserve a right to try whatever we feel is a suitable remedy for our condition, as long as we're at the mercy of the medical profession, we in trouble. So we have to come mm-hmm. up with our own ways of dealing with things. Otherwise, they're just going to let us die.
Mm-hmm. You know, Brother Craig, I know that you are a very big proponent of vitamin C, and in past shows we've talked about vitamin C and its effect
yeah.
on the body, you know,
yeah.
that vitamin C can flush some things out, you know, and vitamin C is, you know, is almost like a wonder vitamin, you know.
But if there's one vitamin you should take, it's vitamin C, absolute. And you,
but no
vitamin
you have C
to,
in the brain.
And the brain, for the brain. They mentioned B12, but I would say vitamin C should be number one. Because vitamin C will strip a lot of those problems or the conditions that we have created in our brain. Vitamin C will help pull a lot of that out. But you have to take the right one. You want a non-acidic vitamin C, because if you take the acid, you're going to exacerbate the problem even more, and you're going to accelerate your disease even worse. So you got to get a non-acidic vitamin C or buffer, and you got to use a lot of water with that. Yeah, vitamin C is an essential vitamin because we need it and our body don't make it. In slavery, we was in the sun, so a lot of that stuff would just go through us. It wouldn't stick with us. But now we're sedentary inside all the time. These things tend to accumulate, and they accumulate in all parts of the body. And no matter where it accumulates, it can create a problem. Some people call it arthritis. Some people call it high blood pressure. Some people call it dementia. Whatever you call it, it comes from not drinking enough water, not breathing properly, and not doing enough to flush the toxins that we create out of our body. So we have to, if nothing else, start with ourselves in terms of determining that we are going to do whatever we can, however we can, to diminish the effects of all the bad things that we do. We have to start there. And then from there, we have to pass it on through the family. And as we learn, we have to come to a place to where we incorporate these things in our lives so that we don't go astray in terms of all the drugs and the alcohol, particularly now. I don't know why anyone would want to do it, but this K2 epidemic, particularly in the district, is just wiping us out like left 40 going north. And all of it affects the brain. So if you to a place to where you are willing to put something like K2 in your brain, you need a lot of help. We need a lot of mental help. We need a lot of help, mental programs to rebuild the brain and ask ourselves, why are people doing this? Is their life so terrible that they have no other option but to kill themselves?
I missed the K2 piece. What's the K2? Was that something new they got going on up there?
Well, up here, and in most cities, a lot of the big cities, the urban areas, they do this synthetic drug. They call it K2.
Okay.
So there's a couple of them around. They got different names.
Okay.
But it's just like incense that you burn, and maybe some formaldehyde or some of the worst things you can think of. They just throw in a crumble up in a powder and smoke it, and it does it is worse than you remember
Love Boat.
Love Boat, something like that. It's even worse than Love Boat.
Mm-hmm.
And it's infecting the community wherever, all over D.C. You can find it. People falling out on the street in the homeless shelters. They laying out on the street because someone gave them some K2 and it just knocks you out.
Wow.
And that's what's going around in the big cities. The worse the drug is, the more we like it. It seems we have nothing to do with life. Everything is death. We got liquor stores, drugs, alcohol, all these things we gravitate to because they are addictive, and our bodies, we are have an addictive nature, so that's where we go. But if you give them life, they reject that because they would rather die. So it's a good side of the tree is a bad side of the tree, and we all end up the tree of life or the tree of death. We all end up on the tree of death. We seem to like to be over there on the tree of death, and we need to change that to a place to where we can live on this side of the tree of life. We need to pass things on to our family. We need to create more wealth in our own families. We need to pass it on, learn how to do more, read, like you say, study. I mean, I think we need to really study economics, because economics is the only way we're going to break out of this. And in order to be effective in your economics or in your business or in whatever you are trying to do, you have to have a straight mind, and you can't be messing around all the time. And we have to come to a place to where we understand the stock market. We have to understand how money is made. We have to understand where we got to get what we have to do to get into the system to make money. It's really no one keeping us out. It's just that we don't know. It's like the kids coming out of school now. They hardly know what a lawyer is. They hardly know what a doctor is. They've never been exposed to it. No one has ever told them about it. And that's a problem in the community that we have to really change. And because until we can get to a place to where we can pass something along to our children, we're gonna be in trouble.
And you know, you said something so interesting. You said that we don't know. And what's so interesting about that is not only a vast majority, most people don't know, but it doesn't bother them that they don't know.
They don't want to know. Because then they'd have to be responsible, and being responsible is the last thing we seem to want to be or do. And that's a problem.
Everybody, we're going to have to do a part two to this. almost called you Bishop. We're going to have to do a part two to this, brother. Boy.
All right.
Hey,
we'll keep moving.
Wow. Everybody, my special guest today, I want to make sure that we tell people how they can get in contact with you. And matter of fact, I'm going to see if we can do a part two, because Brother Coy comes on our first Thursday of every month, but this show is so good today, I don't even want to wait that long to do part two. So I'll be getting with you to see how soon we can come back and continue this discussion. But I want people to know how they can... how they can get in contact with you over at Secrets of Nature. You got an awesome establishment over there, everybody. Brother Coy has products. If you are in the D.C. area or wherever you are in the world, actually, if you need products, he sells loose herbs, bulk herbs, capsule herbs, and nutrients, I mean, you name it. Brother Coy, so he's got an awesome establishment that you can actually go in there and get lunch, okay, and have the food prepared for you in front of you while you watch him. Can you share with the listeners how they can get in contact with you, Brother Coy? He does consultations, phone consultations. If there's an issue that you have that you want to talk about, give him a call. Brother Coy, can you share with the listeners where you are and your hours of operation?
I'm located in Washington, D.C. I'm at 3923 South Capitol Street Southwest in Washington, D.C., 20032, telephone number 202-562-0041, hours of from 8 to 6, most Thursday but Sunday. If you call and don't get an answer, leave a message and someone will get back with you. or I'll get back with you as soon as we can get your message. And like you say, we try to give the tree of life. We deal on the tree of life side. If you're looking for smoking and drinking and all that, I don't do that. I have a good plant-based restaurant. I have the supplements you need to heal the body, and I have the consultation you need that if you want to get started or something like that, we can work with that. And again, if you call on the phone and you're somewhere outside of the area and you call me, we can give some phone consultation, and I can send you whatever you decide you want to use, and I can help you with the decision and deciding that. And right now, there's some fantastic products out that can help with most anything. And I would encourage people to really look at it. If you don't know much about plants or the health food industry, I guess is a good way to put it, that's a good thing to study because it teaches you how to live and how to take care of yourself and your family and do the things that you need to do to prevent diseases, which is more important than, you know, getting a disease. I think if you can not get the disease, I think we'll be better off, but we seem to be prone to want to get sick and then give our lives over to the doctor, and boom, that's it. But I deal on the prevention side. I would rather prevent, but if you have a condition, I can help you with getting yourself back to a place to where you feel comfortable in terms of your health and your ability to take care of yourself and get your mind right, get your brain right. That's what we mm-hmm. do primarily.
And I want to just encourage people, don't wait too long, you know, because I know you've heard Brother Coy's testimony that the doctor has given his mother 6 weeks to live. Don't wait until the doctor has given you 6 weeks to live, you know. Don't wait, excuse me, until, you know, your health is so bad that you feel like, okay, well, what do I got to lose?
Now, see if he can help me.
Exactly, exactly. Make it easy. Increase the odds. Increase the odds that you'll have a successful recovery by getting to Brother Coy once. Don't wait. You know, if the moment you find out that you have some ailment, whether it's high blood pressure, I mean, it can be high blood pressure. I mean, correct, Brother Coy? You can actually. Yeah. Somebody with high blood pressure, change their diet, and by changing their diet, you can actually get them off of the high blood pressure medication.
That's great. That's what I try to tell people, that whatever it is, it doesn't matter what you call it, that you can correct it. Just give yourself as much chance as you can to do that and get as much help as you need to do that. And there's plenty of help out here for people that are looking for ways to get off medication or to get a better, healthier life, live a healthier life. The diet, how to eat, a lot of people out there now talking about eating plant-based and all these other kind of diets now, I don't even know them all. But the main thing is coming up with the idea that, yes, this is my body and I'm going to take care of it and I'm going to do whatever I need to do to keep from getting sick. And if I get sick, I'm going to do whatever I can to get well.
What do you take somebody, Brother Quay, they hear this information, they say, you know what, that's all well and good, you know, but hey, I'm just not with that vegan thing. I just ain't, you know, I like my pork chops, I like my chitlins, you know what I mean? I hear the brother, but I'm just not with that.
Well, I think probably that's because they haven't studied enough. They haven't, I think they're saying that out of what they've been exposed to, and it's... people that talk like that, they don't get to the place to where they can hear another's voice until they get sick, and just pray that it's not too late for them to make that change when they decide to do it. But unless if you're set in your ways and you are planted in the seed or whatever, that you're stiff neck and all that, you're just gonna have to pray that you can get a open mind so that you can hear what people are saying in a way that can help you, and we try to do it in a way that you can get it before you get sick. If you can do that, that's the objective. But after you get mm-hmm. sick, and you know that what you are doing is causing your condition, we can help you. We can still work with you, but it's just going to be a little more difficult to get to where you want to go to get healthier. It's much easier to prevent the disease as opposed to walking right into it when it's when the information is right in front of you. All you have to do is accept it or research it or study, and you'll find that whatever is going on with you is probably related to your diet in some way. And if you can't get to that, you're in trouble.
You know, it's so interesting, Brother Coy, because you have people that tune into this show all the time. I mean, I look at the archives and the shows just keep growing. People going back, listening to the shows. There may be somebody that's hearing this information, not for the first time, but for the 100th and first time, and still hasn't made that change. God is continuously knocking on your door. Okay? God is still knocking on your door to get your attention, to get this information to you so that you don't have to suffer or some of your loved ones don't have to suffer. So if you're hearing this for the 101st time, you know, well, thank you so much for continuing to tune in. But just know that, yes, you can get rid of whatever the condition is. We don't make promises. Why? Because it will all depend on your level of commitment. You
That's
know,
right.
You have to be committed to your own healing. Again, Brother Coy is not going to go to the grocery store and get your fruit and vegetables for you. Okay,
right.
And Brother Coy is, you know, not going to come over and give you enemas. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, you have
but
to
But there
take
are
control.
People that will. There are people out there that will. So if you get to you finally get to a place to where you stroke out, you can't walk anymore, you can't talk anymore, there are people that will come in and do that for you. But that's I don't think anybody want to be there. I don't think anybody want to go there. But I guess the idea is that you can find people to do whatever you want them to do if you can afford it. And when you allow your body to go into such a state to where you can't do anything for yourself, then there goes your wealth, all your inheritance is gone. Yeah, you lose it all because your health is your wealth. And if you don't take care of your health, you won't have much wealth.
Brother Coy, you've had the final word, my brother. Wow. Awesome, awesome information. Again, you stated at the top, you hope that there's something that you say that can benefit some people. You said more than one thing. You said many, many things that people can benefit from. And again, I encourage everybody to make sure you get by Secrets of Nature. Call this number, write it down. It's 202-562-0041. Again, that's 202-562-0041. My special guest today is King Coy Dunston. That's C-O-Y, not Corey. You know, a lot of people say Corey.
Yeah, that's
O-Y. Dunston, D-U-N-S-T-O-N. Write that number down, 202-562-0041. Call him, get a phone consultation if you're not in the area. Again, you can order your products via, you know, just give him a call and he'll make sure that he can get you whatever it is, wherever you are. So, again, Brother Coy, I want to thank you so much, again, as I stated earlier, for all of your years of doing what it is that you do. Thank you for the wisdom, the knowledge that you share with us because we're much better for it. Thank you again for an awesome, awesome show today.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to share, and I pray that your audience have been enlightened and that I've done something to help somebody tonight. And I appreciate what you do. Without you, they wouldn't hear me. So you get the kudos tonight.
Well, Brother Coy, we're calling you tomorrow to see how soon we can do a part two because this is, man, and I want seconds. Good meal. I want
seconds. Okay. All right.
Everybody, we'll get it together. Everybody, get ready for part two, okay, of the show we did today is Exercise and the Brain. Exercise and the Brain. Remember, you didn't hear this show by accident. You tuned in on purpose. Don't forget, give Brother Coy a call, 202-562-0041. Scroll down the archives. We're in the middle of a series called Fundamentals of Health. And wherever you see King Coy Dunston, click on that show. Share the show. okay, with somebody else. Because, again, if it's not for you, it's for somebody that you know. My name is Jawanza. Who am I? I'm the one who, in giving, receives more. Thank you for your time. Who are you? Peace.